Potters. Welcome to episode 272 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
We're back from MulCon. Yay, we made it.
And we're tired. We're old.
We're very tired.
That's the actual like sound all of us made at the end of it was just,
It's not that we don't love you guys, and it's not that, you know, we're like, oh, it's over. It's not that sentiment. It's more that months and months of planning have come to fruition, and yay, it went off, and yay, we finally finished it. Breath of relief. It's that kind of tired.
Yeah.
It's not that angry tired.
We'll have a little update after the cosplay updates that we do about it, but I think there was just a general sentiment amongst our friends and acquaintances, because we're all about the same age group. It was just like, we got to learn how to con again, because this is just exhausting.
Plus, it had been the first time that we'd actually been in person to a convention, more or less since pandemic began.
Right.
And normally, like, when you slowly try and get back into something, you do it, like, baby steps. You might do, a couple of panels, do a little bit of networking with friends, and then you're done. No, we jumped headfirst into the pool, no water wings, and we're like, no, we're going to start this shindig off by running a major event.
That's
there is
fine.
No taking it easy. There's no sliding back gently into, you know, being a con goer. Nope. We just went for it. And that's also why we're so tired, because we haven't run a major event in a while, too. So not only had we not been to a convention, we also hadn't run a contest in a long time. So double the fun.
My eyes have never felt so heavy for so long.
I honestly admit I was falling asleep at like 7:30.
Yeah. I have been so tired all week long, and I'm like, I know it's because of the convention.
And so I fully admit, I apologize. I have no cosplay updates this time, mostly because I've basically been in recovery mode since the convention, which is actually only about a week ago. It's less than a week ago since we're recording this. So it's still just kind of like gradually letting it all out.
Facts.
Yeah, plus getting back to real life right after the con. Real life never actually like stopped during the con. So I came back to all sorts of things that I had to do too that had been basically put on hold because of the convention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go on vacation and then you come back and there's a pile of things for you to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And then you're like, oh, why did I go on vacation? It's kind of the same thing.
Because there's always just more things to take care of and you're like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came back to a pile of stuff that I had to get done.
Yeah.
So,
per usual.
But it looks like you have cosplay updates.
I do. I have an entire dress form behind me that is coldly clothed. Wow, I can't speak. English is hard. And yeah, words have been failing me a lot lately. But it's a completed costume right here on my dress form. Yay. I'm not showing the back because it's not ironed in the back. And it looks awful in the back. But that's fine. The rest of it looks amazing in the front because it's fully nicely pressed and clean. Yay! So in the last episode, since I wasn't here, I actually got this done. So this was like a two-weekend project that I got finished. And I haven't had a chance to show off yet. So I actually have photos this time, too. So you guys can see all the pretty progress photos of how this beastly thing was made. And it actually wasn't that bad. So the costume itself is Evelyn from the hit classic 1999 The Mummy with Brendan Fraser, who is an amazing and awesome human being, and we love him and adore him. And the inspiration for the character was just because I really love the movie and I've always wanted to make this costume. So I was like, you know what? It's easy enough for me that it's something I knew I could have a quick turnaround time. I already had all the materials because this is something I had planned for a little while. And it's one of those costumes where, because of the materials that I picked, it's comfortable in most weather situations. And I ended up wearing this to AllCon on Sunday. I went back on Sunday just to hang out with a couple of people I knew who were still going to be there, since Saturday I was non-existent. It was like, if whatever happened on Saturday, if you had any conversations with me, I barely remember them at this point. You know, that's just kind of how it goes when you're running a big event for a convention. So I was like, I'm going to make up for that on Sunday. I went for a couple of hours and I wore this. So it was good because it was the night after an unexpected freeze. So it was like 37 degrees outside and really, really windy. And I was nice and comfortable, and it was great. So anyway, with the pictures I have up right now, the skirt, I ended up creating the pattern with Sewist, something that I've reviewed on this channel before, which is one of those websites where you create your own pattern, then you can put in your measurements, and then you buy your print for it. And I needed something with inverse box pleats, two in the back, one in the, wait, two in the front, one in the back. And those kind of skirt patterns don't really exist unless you Frankenstein them. And I didn't have the patience to Frankenstein and have it fit me properly. So I was like, it's only going to cost me $2.45. I'm just going to make my pattern and print it and be and call it a day. So I was happy with that. The shirt itself was a pattern that I took an old dress shirt that I had and just used that as the base. And all I really needed to do was, because her shirt in the movie is a men's shirt, they didn't have women's button-down shirts like that back then. Surprisingly, the costumes are very historically accurate in The Mummy. Go fig. So it's a men's shirt. So that meant the side seams didn't need to have that curve in the waist. I basically just made it into a box. And that was really the only change that I had to make. So that's nice. So this is a very oversized shirt for me, and it's kind of comically oversized, but because of the way it's tucked into the waistband, it looks like it's more fitted than what it's supposed to be. And then the shoes, I know I brought them up on the show previously where I did all the painting for them. And I had to do my custom paint color for that light taupe, which was funny enough, it's a mixture of taupe and white to get it to be a little bit more of like that light tan color. Yeah. Thank you again, Angeles Paints. You are amazing and I love you and I'll use you for all of my leather products. No, I'm not sponsored by them. But I did go the historical accuracy route because I'm a nerd like that. And the shirt is made out of a cotton. The skirt is made out of linen. So they're both breathable fabrics and they're good for any type of situation weather-wise. So it's like, given that the movie takes place in Egypt, the fabrics would have been accurate to what they would have worn then. As you can see from the skirt photo, linen gets very wrinkled. And I kind of forgot about that aspect of it. You can look at it and it'll start wrinkling. That's how linen works. So I've had to remind myself before I wear this, I have to starch it to death and then iron it. And that'll keep it from wrinkling. And I can assure you the starching that I gave it for Sunday worked out wonderfully because I didn't have to worry about it wrinkling until I washed it.
This is putting me in mind of the original Athena dress that I sewed out of poplin.
Oh. Oop.
Talk about a nightmare to iron and keep wrinkle free. I
Yeah.
don't think, I think I could literally soak that fabric in starch and it would still
It'll
wrinkle.
still wrinkle.
I hated that stuff so much.
It's so unfortunate because this is a really awesome linen. Like, if you touch this linen, it's a nice quality linen. I got it for a basement price, basement bottom prices. Like I got this extra cheap, but it is a good quality linen. I technically don't need a slip underneath it because linen has that kind of weave where it's a little bit transparent. I mean, it's not like, ooh, you can see through everything, but this one's got a nice tight weave to it while still being breathable that I didn't need a slip. I still made one just for my own personal comfort, but like this is a good quality linen. Good Lord, does it wrinkle? Oh my Lord. I will forever have to iron this thing and I have much regrets. The shirt itself, I opted to sew on the lines, and I know I mentioned that previously because my hand is not very steady, and I know it's not. I'm not Amber quality levels of a steady hand. I'm great with a sewing machine. My straight lines are not so great. Even though I have a really awesome set of paint pens that are specifically for fabric and they don't blotch or bleed, which is great, I knew I would mess up. So I was like, I'm just gonna put it through the sewing machine. I know it's not accurate to the movie, but that's fine. I ended up using a heat erase sewing pen, and I'll actually pull it out here in a little bit so you guys can see what that pen was because it's literally you make a mark, you do your sewing, and then you iron it and it goes away. And it will never return. And it's so awesome. I love this product immensely. I just found it like a couple of months ago. It's beautiful. So you can see all of my mess of lines. And there's so many lines. Oh, I gave up counting. But the color of the thread, I didn't realize that it had such a fancy name. It's called Rum Raisin. I like it. It's a nice red brown mix. It's pretty. And then the only thing that I did differently was the neckerchief. It's not the same satiny material in the movie because I was like, ah, it doesn't feel very realistic. I ended up using chiffon. I wanted something a little bit nicer. Plus, I had chiffon. So I was like, I'm just going to use this. It's great. I didn't make the belt because I didn't want a tulle leather. And I already had a belt in my closet that was the right color and the right size. So why would I waste the time making a belt from scratch and buying the materials and the tools to do it? I'm just going to use the belt that I already have. It's all good. And I'll show you guys the mask that I made with this too, but I actually got quite a number of people that recognized it right off the bat. I was very happy that so many people could figure it out on a glimpse. It's part of the reason why I chose this particular version of her was because I knew I wouldn't need like all the other characters with me to have it make sense, because her black outfit is not as well known as her and her librarian garb. So yeah, it was nice that so many people recognized it so well. Yeah, here is the mask in question. I of course had to have some fun with it. It's just a book, because it is just a book. I don't have the book done. I want to work on that next. That's my next big project. I knew I wasn't going to have time to finish it. I use my Diablo book as a stand-in, and that's fine. No one questioned it, which was great. However, the weirdest thing happened. I made my mask as I make all my other masks. So the sizing was correct, the ear loops were correct. I had the hardest time keeping this on my face, and I don't know why. The loops kept sliding off my ears. And I made sure that everything was sized appropriately. So the only thing I could think of is that maybe with the wig, something about the added pressure here and with my glasses maybe just pushed things in a funky way. I don't know. I'm gonna have to figure out what the heck happened. I went ahead and resized the loops, and I'm gonna do another test run with another wig some weekend around my house just to kind of figure out what the heck happened with it. But I'm wondering if in the future, instead of doing it with the ear loops, is to do it with the ties so they go on top of your head and wrap around, pin that in place, and then put the wig on. Because at least then it won't budge. This the downside is it's going to be more difficult when I need to eat or drink because I'm literally going to have to pull the wig off to do anything with that. So I don't know.
It's also more prone to giving you a headache, and I know that from
Yeah.
experience because
Yes.
all of my masks are the over-the-head kind.
Yeah. And I'm already prone to headaches with wigs anyway. So I always have a bottle of ibuprofen with me because of that, because I know it's going to happen. The headache thing is just universal at this point. So it's just with this, it's extra headache. But at the same time, I'd rather have this sticking on at all times instead of me doing like this every 10 seconds. Like, why are you falling? Stop falling. So, it is what it is. But at least I don't think the mask needs to be redesigned because I've never had any problems with this style. It's just something about it attaching to my head it did not like. And I do not know why. So, there we go. No, I don't think so. I don't think it was any embroidery because there's no embroidery on this sucker. It's just I use good old Heat and Bond, the red package. So it's cut, paste, go. I did not go fancy on this mofo because I didn't want to spend that much time on it. and I don't think it would have added any extra weight because it doesn't feel any different in weight compared to my other masks. So I don't know what happened. I will have to figure it out, but that's something that I've got plenty of opportunity to do because who knows when my next convention's going to be anyway. But yeah, that's a lot of work that I did in the course of 2 weekends. There you go. I got a full costume. The wig is not out. The wig is over in the corner. I'm going to restyle it. It's the right style. I just didn't do it as cleanly as I could have. So I'm going to take it apart and quickly redo that. But I get a lot of stuff done when I have a couple of hours. I'd say it's a talent, but it's not. It's just years and years of experience. But it also encapsulates everything that Amber hates about costumes. Because it's got the sleeves, it's got the buttons with the buttonholes.
If anybody wants to go and watch why she's mentioning that Amber hates all of these things, please go watch the episode where I talked about Amber's Cosplay Inferno.
Which was literally last episode, episode 271.
Yep. Go watch the episode where I lay out my 9 layers of cosplay hell. Spoiler, sleeves was number 9.
Yeah. You listed 3 things. It was sleeves, buttons, and then what was the last thing?
I don't remember offhand.
Yeah, I don't remember offhand either.
Because I know that I had ranked them, those 3, I had also ranked them in order of, yeah, like, least bad to worst, mm-hmm, and sleeves was at the bottom. Oh, it was zippers.
Zippers, that's it. There's a zipper in the skirt, because it has to. It's fitted at the waist.
And it wasn't because I have problems inserting zippers, it's that I have problems getting the fabric to lay properly, hiding the zipper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go watch the episode where I talk about the 9 layers of cosplay hell.
Yeah. I had to relearn how to use my button foot because I swear, I use it so rarely. It's like I've never retained that information. I had to go pull up the manual and be like, how do I make the buttonholes again? Yeah, I felt like a dummy for a little bit. And then I was like, oh, right. Yeah, that's always fun. Oh, yes, I said I was going to. Hopefully I don't have to dig for very long. I have to get the markers out. Ooh, the heat erasable markers. These are like, oh, amazing. I know it's backwards on the screen. Sorry. It's from Madame So. It's an independent.
No, it's right side.
Okay, good.
It's readable on screen.
It's backwards for me. So it's Madame So is an independent notions retailer. Has a whole ton of sewing notions. So that's where I got these from. And they're probably some of my favorite things in the world. Because literally you can mark up your fabric as much as you want to, run an iron over it, and it vanishes. It's great. It's not good on all fabrics, but the majority of fabrics, this works lovely. And they sell refills of this too, so you can keep using the same pen without having to keep wasting and keep having to buy more plastic. So that's nice. There you go. There's my deluge of cosplay updates. Because good lord, I haven't had one of those in a really long time. Been ages.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we move on to our next topic?
Sure. And really all it is just another round of thank yous to our judges and our sponsors for AllCon. We greatly appreciate you all taking the time out of your day to assist us with judging, for being there, for being wonderful judges, for having such diverse backgrounds and unique perspectives and your professionalism, just all around, you guys were wonderful. So our judges this year were Miho Mouse, Erica Muse, and Prop Monkey Studios. All of them are fantastic cosplayers, wonderful people, very, very nice people too. Just absolutely sweet. It was a pleasure to work with them.
It was a pleasure to work with them. Yep.
Absolutely. And then for our sponsors, Manmade Soap and Photo Persuasion. We love Manmade Soap. They have amazing products.
I went and bought some for myself afterward.
I may have done the exact same thing. They are awesome because of that. And Photo Persuasion.
They don't sponsor the podcast.
No.
They don't sponsor us as a show, but they did sponsor prizes at AllCon
for the cosplay contest, yep, this year. So we greatly appreciate that. And then, yes, Photo Persuasion. We've worked with Brian before on our costumes and having our photos taken. He does a wonderful job. He had a booth there over the weekend. Does great work. And he's awesome. One of the reasons why I really enjoy working with him is that he's great at helping people pose. Because if you've never had your photo taken before, or you're not too sure how you look or how you might stand, he gives you direction on the spot that's very easy to understand. And he makes sure that you get a great photo, no matter if you're new to the whole cosplay thing or if you've been doing it for 20 years. He's awesome at it. So thank you again to Brian for his donation to our contest. We all got soap, apparently.
I mean, sponsorship aside, it's a really solid product and it smells amazing.
My bathroom smells wonderful. It's a good mixture of florals, uh-huh, and coffee, because of course I had to get the coffee one.
Of course
I did.
See, I went for the softer, like lavender type scents. so that it would help me de-stress.
Yes.
And exfoliate. And exfoliate. At the same time.
I got their vegan one.
I think people underestimate, like, cleanliness at a con, because I know we go on about the whole 6-2-1 thing.
Sure.
You know, 6 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, 1 shower. The fact that you have a soap vendor at the convention just makes it even easier for people to take care of business at the con. It's like that gentle, subtle reminder that, hey, you know, you should take care of your hygiene while you're at a con. And you can smell great while doing it. So I think it's a fantastic, you know, marketing idea.
He seems to do well enough that he's been returning for, like, how many years now? Like, he's been there for a while.
Their booth was hopping busy the entire time we were in the dealership.
Even on Sunday.
Area. Oh, yeah.
Even on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, they were busy for all of Saturday, too.
I think people underestimate the quality of good soap, because there's something about if you use nice soap, how much it refreshes you. And you just feel so much better mentally, too.
I mean, I feel better after showering at a convention, period. Especially if it's been a long day. So there's really a method to the madness of 621.
Yes.
Yes, Going Ape. Tiny deodorants are also a fantastic idea. And I have been to cons that actually handed them out.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing to worry about are things like allergies and skin sensitivities, especially if they're scented deodorant, because some people can't take strongly scented deodorant, and some people have skin irritation, depending on which deodorant it is and what's in it. So that's the only thing I would just say. If you're going to sell or hand out deodorant, just be mindful of that. But otherwise, you know, I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're not, like, hosing them down with Axe Spray or Febreze
or something.
Please don't. Yeah.
Don't ever spray anything into con space. Ever. It has to be, like, solid deodorant. No liquid, no spray deodorant.
Yeah.
Please no. I am one of the people that reacts very poorly to strong scents like that. Even with a mask on.
Oh, yeah, especially so. There's just certain scents that it doesn't matter how strong your mask is, that you can still smell them. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, many thanks to our judges for working with us.
Yes.
And for our sponsors for also working with us.
Yay. We appreciate it.
Indeed. We literally could not have done the contest without you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier.
We did.
But shall we get into today's main topic?
Yeah. So, Amber, what was it like to be back at
Let's
cons?
Elaborate.
Yeah. When the since the pandemic began, how was the shindig? It's weird, right?
It was a little weird, but not in the way I expected it to be weird.
Okay.
I noticed. I think I was a lot more aware of myself than I was of other people. And I found it much harder to be around people.
Yeah,
like
facts.
I did not like being around people at all. Even though the con space wasn't crowded like, say, Project Akon was the last time I went, there were still plenty enough people that I still felt like I just wanted to go sit in a room somewhere by myself.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate the fact that because AllCon is smaller in size, that it was easier to kind of steer away from the clumps of people. And because it wasn't a bigger area, it was also easier to maneuver around. Like, I know on Sunday, they were clustered around the Scarborough Fair table to try and get the last, like, of the free tickets. And I tried to go through them, and I was like, absolutely not, turned around. I was able to just kind of catty corner and make my way around them. And that was fine. But it was like, you know what? At least I could do that. Because there are some cons where they're just packed wall to wall, and that's not possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I had forgotten, probably pleasantly, about doing the elevator dance at a hotel.
Woo!
Which is to say, having to constantly go up and down in elevators and wait for elevators to come.
Yep.
and to not have stairs as an option, which was not helpful when I needed to get up and down quickly. It's just like, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And also, this particular hotel has glass elevators, and I have a very deep fear of heights, and glass elevators are not where I would have preferred to be at the hotel for any distance. I don't care if I'm just going up one floor. I don't like glass elevators for that reason. But I didn't really have a choice for a lot of the time. So you just kind of turn your back to it and
And
grin
just
bear it.
don't look and pretend it's not there. It's all you can really do, unfortunately.
Yeah. In a way, it was nice that the elevators were primarily for guests so that they weren't crowded like they have been at some other conventions where it's just general use. So that was helpful. And as Tamlin mentioned in chat, the con was not as crowded as perhaps it has been in past years, especially when they were at other hotels. So having that extra breathing room was very nice
Yeah, absolutely.
for sure. It looks like they were able to spread out a bit more in terms of
Yes,
vendor area. So the
absolutely.
dealer's den was not completely crammed. I mean, yeah, it was a little hard to walk around in some places because some of the vendors' table space kind of jutted out into the walkway just a little bit. But generally speaking, it was a fairly open layout, it felt like. So that was really helpful. And kudos to the Hilton for having a cash table, a cash bar, where people could just get really quick grab-and-go lunches. Because, as we all know, those of us who have been to conventions at any time in the past several years, sometimes finding decent food at a reasonable price can be fairly difficult. Especially if you don't have the option to like have Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever bring it to you. So just having it as an option to where you could pay like $10 and get a little sandwich combo effectively. Good job.
Yeah, I did see people that had salads there too, so I was like, it was nice that there were actually like healthy options. I'm sure there was some cheese and ranch dressing and all that, but it didn't seem like it was poured on. It was like, okay. At least there were options available to have healthy, filling meals.
Right. Because I will be honest, whenever conventions are held at a hotel, they're usually heavily overpriced. All of the food,
It's
period.
always greasy food, it's always pizza. And pizza and
It's
pizza and
like,
pizza.
what do they call it? Like stadium type foods, which are nachos, hot dogs, pizza. It's very like easy to make in bulk convenience type food. Or if they have like the decent, like savory meals, they'll usually charge you like $20 for a meal, which I would pay for a good dinner, let alone just like a really quick lunch. I need something to eat. So having that as an option, I think, was really like a good call, both on their part and on Alcon's part for coordinating that. Not every convention has it. I mean, it would have been nice to have something like, food trucks, but I'll take the grab and go, certainly.
They probably were too small to justify the deposit for a food truck.
That's fair.
Yeah, because I know how pricey those things get. I've had to price them out for work before, and it gets to be very expensive. So it was good to have that as an option. And as Tamlin mentioned, because there's really nothing nearby unless you drive around, and that can
I
be
noticed
a
that.
hassle. I mean, we have a mall nearby, and there's
Right.
actually a decent food court in that mall. I've eaten dinner in there before. But it's still a drive. You still have to leave the immediate area, and parking was
And
kind
there
of a
was
pain in the
no,
butt.
exactly. If you weren't a guest at the hotel, there was no in and out privilege. So you had to pay going out to get food and then coming back in. I did notice there was plenty of parking. I don't think it ever filled up.
I don't
So
know if it
that's a
did.
bonus.
I intentionally went to the top floor to try to avoid being near other people because that's how I am and I'm very protective of my vehicle, so that was my choice. But even on the top floor, there's still plenty of parking spots. So, and I was
Right.
there middle of Saturday, right at the height of the con, so
Right. And even when I ended up getting there early Saturday morning, I still had to go up like a decent amount into the garage. But even then, it wasn't like everything was full. There were
no,
still,
there's
a
plenty of
couple of
parking.
spots. Yeah, there were spots here and there. So that was definitely good. They had plenty of, excess capacity if they needed it. Honestly, and this is not a knock on all con. I think this is more of just my preference because usually when I go to cons, when I've gone to cons in the past, I mostly go there for panels and events to learn things and to see things. I wasn't really interested in any of the panels this year at AllCon. And I, like I said, it's not a knock on AllCon. AllCon had, a spread of things that you could experience while you were there. Just none of it appealed to me personally.
The only two I wanted to sit on were while we were doing contest stuff. And I
Right.
was like, well, I can't go, so.
Yeah, I would have gone to the game shows, but they were basically while we were prepping for the contest and then during the contest.
Yeah, I did go to one on Sunday. It was I sat in very, very briefly because I spent most of the time just sitting and talking with friends. I didn't do a whole lot of conning on Sunday. It was mostly just chilling. But I did sit on one very, very briefly. Didn't get a chance to participate because you have to be there at the beginning to participate. But it was fun. I heard that the mini golf was enjoyable, that the laser tag room mostly was for kids. So if you had a child, they would have had a blast in there. The video game room was very sad. There was not much in there. It was very depressing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. You got to do something about that because it was just empty. Not because it was devoid of people, because there was literally nothing in there. It was like two stations, and that was it.
I wouldn't have minded doing the D&D on Sunday, D&D with strangers, except that I literally had a hard time moving on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm impressed that I even got up.
Because you may or may not see it in the contest video, but I was the liaison to the judges and I was helping people off the stage. So I kept having to run back and forth to the judges table and then run so that I was off camera shot to the other side of the stage because there were guys just to my right taking pictures of contestants right as they got on stage. So I kept having to run backwards to stay out of their shot. And then every time they would hand me scoring slips to, math, I had to lunge so that I could use the stage as a table so I could write really fast. So I was constantly, kneeling on the floor doing lunges and then having to spring up and run and lather, rinse, repeat that for an hour. And when I woke up in the morning, my quads were like, "No, honey, you're staying in bed."
Yeah, my
And
Fitbit got
I could
quite a
not
workout.
move.
I
And that
almost
was after running up and down, escalator stairs and
and
doing
all
the whole
that
elevator
and
thing and
carrying
regular stairs
things.
too. Oh yeah. Yeah, my legs hurt on Sunday.
I was definitely for a couple of our cosplayers, especially the ones who were like fully masked up and like couldn't really see very well, I was basically their rail guide for up the stairs. So like they were holding onto my shoulders and stuff while I was helping them up onto the stage. I was having to hold the curtains open for them. I was walking back and forth too to make sure everybody was okay, make sure nobody needed anything.
And I was their guide when they went downstairs,
Yep.
so.
Yep, it was a lot of walking around for us. I got about the same number of steps, I think pretty close to when I was at my Disney vacation for like one day. It was a lot of walking. It was a lot of
Yeah.
walking.
It's one of the advantages and disadvantages of having a con in a hotel that has multiple floors, is you have all that extra space. So we had all the extra space of like the ballrooms downstairs and then some of the larger, almost pseudo ballrooms on the main floor. So we had all this extra space, but when you wanted to attend things or go around and look at what there was to offer, you kept constantly having to go up, down, up, down,
It was
up,
a
down.
lot of this and around. It's up, down, around, around, down, up. Yeah, it was a lot of that.
Other than that, I think it was a fairly standard con experience. I found that I definitely don't have the stamina that perhaps I used to in
None of
terms
us
of like being
do.
able to go through at a whole day, like a full day of content and not just collapse at the end of it.
Heck no.
But other than that, it was about what I expected in terms of having been after a long time. I don't think I could do Akon right now.
No.
A-Con is probably three times what All-Con is in terms of like busyness and people and
Three times.
stress.
You are being known. We're talking like 5 to 6 to 7 times.
I'm speaking just for me. For me, it's three times. For other people, it may be different, but just for me, it's about three times like the stress and the volume of what to deal with going to a con. And even at AllCon, I didn't go all 3 days due to other circumstances. Could I have made it all 3 days? Probably. But I don't think I would have had like full days with constant contact. I think I would have had to build in like pretty substantial breaks, especially since I'm still getting used to being out and among crowds of people. So if you saw me at the con and you said hi, I know there were a couple people that said hi to me and for my friends as well. If I seemed a little distant or almost even standoffish, I promise that wasn't what I was trying to give across. It's that I'm still kind of in hermit mode from the pandemic and I haven't been around lots of people very often. So I'm still kind of having to get used to that environment. So please don't take it personally. I promise none of it was.
Also, the stress of having to do the contest too. I mean, I know some people are like, you've been
Oh,
doing this
I
for X
tunnel
number.
focus.
Yeah, they're like, you've done this for X number of years. You shouldn't be stressed out. And I was like, no, honey, you have no
It's different every
idea.
year.
I'm always stressed and I'm always anxious. And I felt that all throughout Saturday. Like
Yeah.
Sunday was the first time where I was like, I feel semi-normal again that I can actually have a conversation with somebody and retain the information.
It's very different every year when you run events. The circumstances are always different. What you're working with is always very different. And even if everything goes 100% to plan, it's when you're actually doing the contest in real life that things don't always go to plan. And there were things that happened, and we'll talk about those in the future. But we also have to be cognizant that it kind of reflects on our reputation a bit, since we're sponsoring and hosting the show as CosPod. So there's always that stress of, is this going to be okay? Are people going to like it? How is this going to reflect on the show? There's always that stress in the back of the mind that's always there until the show is over, and even for a bit after the show, I admit.
Yeah, Saturday I crashed hard. The
Yeah.
moment that I got home, I didn't even bother unpacking anything, like the
I
boxes
didn't
and like the camera and stuff. Like I just left it in my hallway. I took a bath and then I went right to bed. I was like, I don't care.
Get my first use out of that man-made soap.
Absolutely. 'Cause I was done. And even though the circumstances change every year, that stress and that anxiety is always the same. That never changes. It will always be there. It doesn't matter if this is my first time or my 500th time. It'll always be there.
It's a different kind of stress than competing in the contest, which has
Yeah,
its own
that's its
stresses.
own
Re
stressors.
running it is a bit different. And you can't really know that until you've had to organize an event for a convention specifically, because it has its own kind of unique niche in its own ways. And so, I'm glad that we did it, but I'm also glad that it's done.
It's done. I'm tired. I'm
Because
done.
now I can sit down, hopefully, I have one more concert in my concert season to go. And once that's done, then I can sit down and like tunnel focus on cosplay, because I actually spent part of Sunday, since I could not move, I spent part of Sunday researching leatherworking, because Athena doesn't have very much left before she's done. I just have to figure out how to assemble the corset and whether I want to assemble it flat in 2D or if I want to assemble it in 3D while it's sitting on a form, because it's made partially of foam. And foam doesn't always curve cleanly, even when you heat shape it. It depends on what you're trying to form it to. So if I attach all of the cover pieces on the corset while it's flat, as soon as I bend it, you're going to see gaps. It's like putting two pieces of floor foam next to each other. As soon as you bend them, you'll basically see that space right in between them. But if I assemble it in 3D, if I have to store it flat or if I have to transport it flat, then it's going to buckle.
It's gonna buckle.
So I haven't figured that problem out yet. I don't know how I'm going to do it because the pieces are so large that it's not like I can sit there and put a bunch of like Elmer's glue on it and then put the piece down and then hope for the best. It has to be weighted down so that it sits properly. Because it's so big, I can't use hot glue. The hot glue will dry before I have a chance to, or it'll cool before I have a chance to put the whole piece down. And I could use 77, the 3M 77, that is the stickiest adhesive I have literally ever encountered in my life. It is worse than super glue. Once you put something down, it is not coming back up. So you have to place it precisely the way you want it the first time. You don't get mistakes with the 3M 77. So I think that's my last option, frankly. But it may be the only way that I can get, you know, these large panels of such a size down on the floor. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. But basically, once I've sewn all of my straight seams and then I attach all the corset pieces together, it's done. So I've already started looking forward to the next thing I want to do, which is Jedi Pura. Especially with all the Star Wars and Mandalorian stuff going around. I already know what I want it to look like. I have not bought the lightsaber yet. But because I want to partially do some of her armor. Not the whole thing that you see in Ruby, because Jedi don't wear that. But I would like to do some pieces like the greaves. But I wanted to do them out of leather. But to do that, I need to obtain leather and learn what the heck I'm doing.
And once all the stuff with Symphony is done, then you'll have time to learn and
Exactly.
research.
It's like leather stores in my area. What tools do I need for armoring? How do I make leather into armor? In fact, we have filmed panels on leather working
Yeah, we've got a bunch
before.
of them. One of our most
So,
popular videos is wet molding of a leather mask.
exactly. And that's one of the ones I have to go back and watch because for armor, you wet mold. So that'll be fun.
Well, to kind of circle back to the main topic, is there anything else that you wanted to add regarding your first trip back to a con since the pandemic?
Nope. I think I was a boring person at the con. I think I covered everything.
The only thing I realized for me was I'm definitely going to just stick to smaller events. I just don't have the patience or the wherewithal to deal with larger ones. My hope is that the smaller ones will be more unique and they'll offer different content because it's basically the same stamp at all the larger stuff now. It's copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. I've seen it all. I've sat through it all. I've taught through some of that. So it doesn't appeal to me. I don't want to deal with the big crowds. No, it's just.
Oh, I did remember one thing, and I think you may
Good.
have an opinion on this too.
Okay.
It's about the badge.
Ah, the badge. Not the
The
worst
badge.
thing. At least it was like laminated. I've gotten paper badges.
I wasn't even going to touch on that. It's not the largest badge they've ever done. It was actually
No.
slight, it was slightly smaller by about a half inch from what they've done in past years. It's still a fairly large badge. And not only that, when you go in the vendor room, vendors will try and give you what they call swag, which are little ribbons
That's a new
that
thing
they,
this
and
year.
they have adhesive on the bottom of them, and they'll attach it to the bottom of your badge. And if you already have swag, they'll attach it to the bottom swag so that you basically get
You get a
a
line of
train.
ribbons.
Yeah, you get a line of ribbons, which makes the badge even bigger. And it's like, at some point, like, one, please ask first before you try and put swag on my badge, because I would personally turn it down if asked. But two, like, at some point, the badge starts to get a little unmanageable. Especially if you're in cosplay. So maybe a slightly smaller badge and maybe slightly smaller swag.
So I did ask a staff member about this, one of the higher up staff members that I ran into on Sunday, and I asked them about this, and my theory was correct. One of the main reasons they have a badge that big is so it's easier for staff to identify it
Sure.
from like across the room, so they don't have to stop people constantly and be like, "Where's your badge? Where's your badge?" It's
For
so
sure.
blatantly obvious that it's there. I mean, there are other reasons too. Some of it is just because
Sure.
it's the size of their printer, so they can keep doing the self-printing, and it makes so they don't have to outsource it and spend more money. And it's like, okay, I
Also
get
easier
it.
to counterfeit.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. There's pros and cons to both of it, but I was like, I'm pretty sure they do it so they don't have to stop people constantly and ask where their tiny little 2x2 badge is. It's like
Doesn't have to be
it's a
tiny.
booklet. They can see it.
They could have made it an inch smaller on all sides and still been fine.
Yeah, they could have, sure. But it's good to know my theory was correct.
I am just personally not a fan of small book-sized badges.
They get to be
I
a little
prefer,
cumbersome.
yeah, I prefer slightly smaller form just so they don't get away from you. They don't flap in the wind and basically fly in your, because mine actually flew in my face a couple times.
Oh yeah, absolutely, because it was windy.
Yeah, so it's like just make them a little bit smaller form size and then we'll be good.
My only
That way I can
complaint,
just keep in front of me.
yeah, my only complaint is that they keep using the punch holes. And so many badge holders now no longer have the punch holes. They're either clips or grips, or you slide them through and you need like the
Right. So
elongated
they want the
hole.
bar.
You want the bar.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we had the bars instead of the
I kept
holes.
having to check my badge every so often because I have one of the clip badge holders. And of course, the clip doesn't entirely fit inside the punched hole because
No.
it wants the bar hole.
It's the standard punch hole, so it's not an
Right.
oversized one.
And I didn't want to cut the top of the badge. I didn't want to cut a bar hole because I was afraid that the lamination would tear if I did that and that I would just lose the badge when it tore. So
Exactly.
every so often I kept having to look down and check to see if my badge was still on my lanyard and hadn't torn off my badge holder.
Yep.
Because I brought my own lanyard this year. I didn't want, well, for one, I didn't want the yarn one. But for two, I don't need any more lanyards. I have plenty.
I have so many nice ones that I've bought from artists in the past, and I want to wear more of them, but they all have different types of holders that don't work with the hole. You need the bar. Eh.
Right.
Eh. Eh. But really, mostly I've just learned is I want to keep to smaller cons for a while. I don't want to go back to big cons. I'm kind of done with them. Unless it's something really special or really, really niche to something that I'm a big fan of. Nah, I'm cool. I'll stick to small cons.
Big cons have a couple of advantages in that one, they can sometimes get niche guests. So if they
Sure.
get like a really good cosplay guest, then I might consider going. But two, they also tend to get a bit more advanced panel content just because they tend to bring in guests from out of town who can offer that content sometimes, not all the time,
Not all the
but
time.
sometimes. And so they have those advantages, but then you also get the cons that come with having huge gatherings of
Big,
people,
big crowds. You're
especially depending on
smothered.
where they hold
You're
it.
smothered.
Yeah. So I know for sure I won't be doing a con this year. I think I've kind of gotten over summer cons, especially summer cons in cosplay. It's just too hot.
It's too hot now.
Even indoors, it's just too much.
It's too much, unfortunately, and we just.
So I think I'm going to stick to, like you, I'm going to stick to smaller cons, preferably local cons, although,
Yes.
we'll travel if asked. But also, summer cons are out, so basically winter spring cons or late fall cons. Something where the weather is a bit more reasonable for cosplay.
Yeah. But mostly that was it. I mean, it was just a standard, typical convention, and it was just nice that at least everybody seemed to have the general idea on Sunday to just relax and not bother with a whole lot of stuff, which made that was more enjoyable. I think there was a general consensus of we all need to rebuild our stamina, but at the same time, we all recognize that we need to take more breaks during our conventioning experience, and we're just going to take more breaks, and that's just how it's going to be. And I kind of prefer small cons for that because it gives me more of an opportunity to see people I know more often. Whereas big cons, I'm probably not going to run into people that I know, and that kind of sucks. So yeah. Yeah, typical con.
It's also been a while since we were press at a con.
I don't know if I want to do that again. Oh my God. It's tiring.
That's pretty much what we did at a lot of big cons, is we ended up being press a
Press.
lot of the time
It
and
was,
covering cosplay.
yeah, it got tiring. It's still tiring. It's a lot of work.
It is, although I admit we also got a lot of good content, and I know I learned a lot
Sure. Oh,
while watching the
absolutely.
panels.
I'm not knocking us ever doing it. It's a lot of work.
Of course.
It's a lot of work before, during, and after because we also do so much video work. We have to go through and edit all that content too and get it
Yeah.
published. So it's just like, oh man, the cycle just kept going and going and going and it didn't end.
Yep. I don't have anything else to add. How about you?
I'm good with that. There's nothing else for me, so we can start wrapping it up.
All right. Well, of course, if you in the audience would like to join in the conversation and let us know what your experience was like at AllCon, if you happen to go, or if you have an opinion on what it's been like to be back to conventions since we had pandemic, please feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching us, the information is located right underneath Amber over there in the corner. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcasts, or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcasts.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us. And Easter is coming, so you might just get a Nick Cage meme themed around Easter.
Oh, don't promise that. I don't know if I can do that. Oh.
That's why I said maybe.
I have to start Googling because I don't know if I got one with bunnies.
We can find something.
I'll work on that. I got a lot of bunny puns and egg puns.
That works too. We can give a Nick Cage meme and a bunny pun.
I'm okay with that. That might be more appropriate.
There we go. At any rate, please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays. And, if you feel like you would like to show off your progress on any of these costumes, as long as it is family friendly, feel free to share that with us too, as well, because we love to see those. Otherwise,
Absolutely.
we will see you all next time in episode 273. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.